All right, guys, have a seat, guys. Oh. What a glorious morning. Great music. You know, music is basically a different language. I mean, if you think about it, music communicates things that sometimes we can't formulate into words ourselves. I mean, I bet you all have a song. I do. I have one song in particular, and it's called While I'm Waiting. And it can be heard in this film called Fireproof. Some of you probably have seen that film before, but it's a beautiful song. And every time I hear it, I am a puddle of tears at the end. No matter how often I hear that song. And I'm sure you all have that song for you. So that's what music does. As I was praying, when somebody comes up to share the word, it's either going to be something totally brand new that you never thought of, or something that we're going to be reminded of. Well, this morning, it's going to be something that God wants to remind us of. I want to talk about something this morning for a few minutes that sounds simple, yet so profound, okay? And I'm calling the sharing this morning, as Jeannie mentioned, living your true self. Because how many times do we hear out in the world, well, we all have to live as our true, authentic selves and accept each other's journey. Who's heard that before? I'm this, I'm that. You have to accept my journey so that I can live my true, authentic self. And if not, you are a... fill in the blank. Thank you. I'll keep that in mind. I want to read you the kind of the theme verses. It's an incredible, incredible few scriptures. You ready for it? Because this is our true self. Our true self. It's in Colossians chapter 1. I'm sure you know where I'm going with this. Colossians 1 verse 25. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We're going to think about that for a moment. Because this last line here is key. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The mystery, which was hid for many, 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 many generations, was finally revealed. And to this day, I've got to say, the mystery, which we all know is Christ in you, is still a mystery to many folks. I mean, we go to Old Town on Saturdays, right? Hey, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Yeah, I've heard of him. Oh, okay. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Somebody else? Yes, I sure do. Oh, so you have Christ in you then, huh? What's that? Do we ourselves know what that actually means, to have Christ in us? Has anybody ever in this room raised somebody from the dead? We've all healed somebody. We've all prayed for somebody that needed healing, and they were healed. We've prayed for people to get their healing, and they weren't healed. Anybody ever cast out a spirit? Christ said it himself, right? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father. Who's ever thought about that and the significance of that? the reality of Christ in you is the most misunderstood thing in all of Christianity. That's probably why Ken, our late brother Ken Petty, I emphasize that. Because if you want to understand how to live as your true self, then you got to understand Christ in you. There's no way around it. Because most of us spend our lives trying to become something, right? We try to become successful. We try to become respected. We try to become spiritual enough and to feel worthy enough. We try to become enough. But the truth of God's word says something totally different, right? It says that your true life is not something that you manufacture. It is something that has already been placed inside of you when you confess Romans 10, 9, and 10. Christ in you. Not Christ near you. Not Christ occasionally visiting you. Not Christ approving you from a distance. Christ in you. Everywhere we go, every breath we take, every step we make, we have the chance to release the Spirit of God. You know, in this section in Colossians, Paul calls it a mystery that was hidden for ages, right? Think about that. For generations, people longed to understand how God would truly dwell with His people in the Old Testament. What was that? Once a year through a priest in whatever that building is, who knows? The tabernacle, right? In the temple. It was conditional. But now, in this grace administration, we're not done. There are what, two administrations left? My goodness, through Christ, God doesn't dwell among in His people. It is God in Christ in you. I'm going to probably say that a bunch of times, but it's so true because that is our true identity. And here is where this matters. If Christ is in you, if Christ is in us, then your truest self is not your fear. It is not your past. It is not your strengths. It is not your weaknesses. Not even your personality quirks or any things of that nature. Your truest self is Christ expressed through you. The verse in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Another thing is that when we talk about living our true self, we're not talking about self-expression like we hear out in the streets, like we hear in the news, in the media. Because the world says, be whoever you want to be. No matter if it's right, no matter if it's wrong. However you feel on the inside is what makes you you. But if our acceptance into heaven was based on our thought life and the way we felt about ourselves, poor God, we would never be accepted into heaven. Never. But God says, be who you were created to be. Ephesians 2, verse 10. As we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You are His workmanship. Workmanship, let's think about that word for a minute. Like I'm looking at that painting on the back wall over here. That is a piece of art. That is somebody's workmanship. And that took a long time to make. Here it says in Ephesians chapter 2 that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ. It's really something. That means your true self did not begin the day you were born naturally. Your real self came about when you became born again of God's Spirit. Second Corinthians chapter 5. I just don't have the time to develop this whole thing. This is probably going to be a two-parter. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Here's the tragedy. Sadly, a lot of Christians in particular, we know this verse, right? We've read this many times. But here's a tragedy. Many believers who have stood faithfully for many, many years are spiritually new, but psychologically still living in the past. Still living from whatever occurred in the past. We still define ourselves by things that have hurt us. We still define ourselves by who left us. We still define ourselves by our own shortcomings, by our own weaknesses, our mistakes, our this, our that, the amount of money we have in the bank. I mean, on and on the list goes, right? But the reality is, none of that stuff matters. By grace we are saved, right? Not by works, but by grace. Let's see here. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. "For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory." That means our lives are secure. They're secure. We often hear people say, "Oh, I have so many insecurities. I'm so insecure." Really? That's a false self. The false self is fragile. And we constantly need consistent validation if we live from our false self. We get defensive. We get easily offended. And we get easily shaken. But the true self, the one that is rooted in Christ, is steady. You could just go on and on and on here. Yeah, a few more minutes here, guys. We'll wrap it up. Romans 8:14. It's another wonderful verse. I trust you see the picture here. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." And then it says, "We have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Your true self is a child of God. Nothing more, nothing less. Nothing less. That means we are free. We've been made free. If we're not free, what are we? We're still in bondage, right? that would basically make a slave. And what do? They perform to avoid punishment. They are not doing it out of who they really truly are. People are still stuck in this mindset, sadly. But you know what? When you live as your true self, you know what changes along with it? Obedience. Your level of obedience goes way up there. Because you start to really realize what God has made you to be and what God really wants you to do, not what I think I should do. Father, what do you want me to do? How can I serve you and your people? I feel like I should do this, but what do you want me to do? It's really something, guys. John 15, chapter 4. I think I'll probably stop it here. John 15, 4 says, "Abide in me, and I in you." There it is again. Abiding is not striving, right? It's staying connected, fully connected. There's a branch on a vine. A branch does not struggle to produce fruit, right? It simply remains attached to the vine. If you're exhausted in your own walk with God, it happens. It happens all the time. We live in the five senses. We're not of the five senses, but we still do live in the five senses. We have physical bodies. It might be that you are trying to produce fruit without staying connected to who you truly are. You are trying to manufacture something that only comes from unity. Union with that, really remaining connected with that Spirit of Christ within. Because living your true self also means rest. It means when condemnation tries to speak, you answer with, "Oh, I love this verse. I will quote this verse, and then I'll probably find a place to stop, because I can go on and on and on here." Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." Think about that for a moment. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. That is all of us. And once you really start to realize the reality of what God has made us to be, the opportunities are endless. As I mentioned earlier, do we really understand what it means to have Christ in us? We often think we do, but I think we have a lot of unused authority, unused power. Because I'm still waiting for the day where I can raise somebody from the dead, and something greater than that. What could be greater than that? I don't know. That's right. Somebody born again. But until Christ comes back, we have work to do within ourselves, with each other. And God's desire is for all men to be saved, come to a knowledge of the truth. I don't know if that's ever going to happen. That is still His desire. Okay. A whole lot of those. Going to take a whole. God wants lots of kids. Wants a big old family. He wants the whole world to be saved with Christ in them. I'm up for the challenge. Are you? Okay. I'm going to stop it there. I could go on and on and on, but we've had a packed morning this morning, but I trust what God wanted to get across is clear, okay? So God bless you guys. I'm going to pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, you are so good to us all. You're our Father. You are our provider. You are our protector. You are our sufficiency. You know things about ourselves that we don't even know. So until you gather us all up, Father God, I ask that you continue to help us realize our true self, our born again, Christ in us identity, Father God. That is what truly counts. So whatever that entails, Father, whatever plans you have for our lives, from here until we take our last breath, or until you send your son back, we're ready for what you would have us to do, Father, because you're just so good. And the world needs to know that. I want to lift up to you our country, Father God. Yeah, we're kind of seeing a trend getting you back into our country, Father God, but I just claim that trend keeps going. And going and going and going. So thank you for setting us free. Thank you for calling us to be your kids, Father. And we just say thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Bless you guys.
Amen. Let's have a wonderful week ahead and enjoy the Christ in us. And every refreshments in the back, and enjoy fellowship with one another. All right. God bless you.